Blog Talk Radio.
This fall, the Fantasy Sports Channel will make history
all over again
with even more live fantasy sports radio than anywhere on the planet. At least 12 hours of fantasy football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus more fantasy sports talk every Saturday and Sunday. More than 50 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business.
Try getting that on your radio dial.
The Fantasy Sports Channel. Only on Blog Talk Radio.
It's a schedule you can bet on.
Let's get it going. Let's go on early. Let's see what happens tonight. To Red versus Blue Fantasy Sports Football Radio. I'll tell you what, this is Mike Trick. This is my first time going at it without Scott, so we're going to go at it and see what happens. We got a lot of things that we definitely want to cover. We also have Jeff. He's going to join us here in just a little bit. And we've got some of the things that we want to touch on are the CBA, obviously, with the collective bargaining agreement with the NFL and the players, the owners, and what's going on with that. Biggest tournament, I'm going to touch on that just a little bit, and a little bit of baseball. I'd like to do that. And first off, we have on the air in the 410, let me see if I can do that. What's on caller? Okay, it's my first time doing this, and I'm just kind of going with it. So, in the 410, are you there? Okay, so obviously not. He is there, but anyway, I want to go ahead and air out some of my thoughts. That a lot of times, Scott. He pretty much handles the show, which he does a fantastic job, and he's busy watching Notre Dame and Louisville, and Notre Dame is, they've been up pretty good in this game, but Louisville's coming back. But some of the things I want to bring up in the collective bargaining agreement is, in my opinion, it's becoming a joke. It's becoming a real joke because what's happening right now is they've come to a stalemate. They've given each other, has given themselves some time. They've given themselves some leniency, so to speak. And they're going to, extend the period. Well, right now it's come time to either step up or shut up. And I don't see anything happening from either point of view from either of these sides, so it really looks tough. I'm in a couple of dynasty leagues, and I'm going to continue to move forward with my trades or lack thereof. But the one thing about it is these guys they got to come to a resolution here very soon, because the teams, the owners of the teams, they will not continue payroll. They will not continue to pay people that want to be paid, and it's gonna end up being an ugly lockout we've never seen before. I mean, we saw a lockout years ago in the NFL, but it could become so much greater. as far as a economy-wise, I mean, that could affect the economy as well. So I don't know what's going to happen with it. I thought that the stay of execution, so to speak, the delay would help things, but I don't think it has. And, you know, I would love for anybody to just check in the chat room and tell me why it's come to this point and why we're looking at what we're looking at. Because I don't see anything that's going to make anything different. I thought that this week could make a difference, but it's not. Moving forward, if any of you have any ideas on you know, different strategic moves to make, then go ahead and do it. I mean, maybe this will be the time to do it, and you know, you never know. You know, I'm not sure, but it's upsetting as an owner of three dynasty leagues. Well, make that a little bit more than three, but it's upsetting as an owner of those dynasty leagues to know and think that fantasy football or that the NFL has come to this point. But that just brings me back to another point. I want everybody that still hung with me through the first 6 minutes to understand my point and to realize that without you, without me, without fantasy football owners, without people that gamble on the NFL, where would the NFL be as far as, you know, public, you know, in the public eyes? Where would the NFL be? I'm not sure, because I love the game, but without us and without the people that gamble on these games, I'm not sure where it would be. But, you know, I'm going to look and, you know, just see how we can make it better. You know, I'm looking to get Jeff on real quick and you know, like I said, this is my first time doing this, and I need Jeff bad, and Jeff needs to be on here, but I'm really not sure how to do this. But anyway, I just want to make sure that everybody understands that, you know, this is a great game. This is a game that we love, and I'm going to continue with it. You know, I'm already prepaid into a bunch of dynasty teams, and I plan on doing it. And I hope everybody else does too. We'll keep on watching the CBA and keep on watching how they go about it. But, you know, the one thing about it is they've got to come to an agreement very soon. Because if that doesn't happen, there's going to be a lot of unhappy people. All right, Jeff, can you hear me? Okay. Well, he's not there. Obviously, I can't connect him, but I'm efforting Jeff real quick. Also, I'd like to touch on this before I get to Jeff and before Scott comes in real quick. The Big East basketball. I want to touch on the Big East basketball. All I've heard all year long is how good the Big East is. And the Big East, don't get me wrong, they are deep. They are solid. I mean, they've got, you know, what, 11 teams that can make it in, but, you know, it just, it amazes me that the fact that Well, I hope you guys are still with me. If not, then I'm just speaking to the wind. But the Big East, what's the chances of a Final Four recipient? I'll say, you know, I don't think they're going to have anybody that's going to be in the Final Four. The only reason I say that is because it's a very good conference. It's a great conference, but it's not that great. It's very deep, but not great. You know, there's so many teams that can outweigh each other, and you know, I get so sick and tired of hearing the same thing. Well, the Big East is in basketball what the SEC is in football. Well, I'll tell you what, that may be true, but the one thing about the SEC in football is they win championships. The Big East in basketball does not win championships. They might be good. They might be almost great. And I did say great earlier. But are they really that great? Hey, give me a national championship. Give me a Final Four, for goodness sake. And then I'll talk to you. But until then, no way. But I'm still trying to figure out the switchboard. Baseball. Well, I'm going to hold off on baseball until it's a little bit later in the show. But I know there's a lot of you out there that have been thinking about the WCOFF and been hoping that you get paid and this and that. You know, I don't want to go too much into it. This is my own opinion. This is Mike Trent's opinion without Scott Atkins or anybody else in here talking about it. You work hard. You work very hard. When you put up your money to be in a league, you work extremely hard to try to win that league. A lot of time and energy, you know, some time that maybe you spend away from your spouse, your kids. Hopefully not too much time, but still, there's a lot of time and energy that's put into that. And you win the league. And it's like, wow, I finally did it. I did something, man, especially in high-stakes fantasy football where, let's face it, there's not that many of us that can have that claim to fame. And then you finally win it. Oh, wow. Okay. Where's my money? And the money doesn't happen. Now, I'm going to go on record right now and say that the FFPC does a fantastic job. I haven't been in a high-stakes league on theirs, but I've been in a lot of 77s. I've done a lot of different events through that organization. And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to get paid right away. Now, I'm not propping the FFPC right now or Alex or Dave, but I'm going to tell you what I'm seeing and hearing, and you get paid. For those that are part of the WCOFF and part of that whole conglomeration, and if you still stand beside them and you haven't been paid, wow, that just blows my mind. But I guess I'm going into realms that maybe I shouldn't go to, but, you know, it's something that I need to bring forward because I'm, you know, like I said, I host the show with Scott. Scott's the main guy on this show. Scott has the Fantasy Players Association, which everybody needs to check out. And it's for the benefit of the players themselves, because we don't want to see anybody get cheated. Not necessarily cheated, but you know, put up their money and lose their money after they won their money. And that doesn't make any sense at all. And I guess I'll just keep on rambling for a little bit because, you know, this is a tough business to play. And I saw a post on one of the sites earlier that said, man, it looks like fantasy football may come to an end soon. Well, it will come to an end as long as you got people and businesses and companies and DBAs that want it to come to an end. If you've got businesses and companies and DBAs like, you know, FFPC, it will not come to an end, and it will thrive. And every single one of you out there that is a high-stakes fantasy owner, well, you'll thrive as well, and you'll enjoy the competition with each other. Because that's what it's all about, the competition with each other. But you do not want to get, you don't want to sit there and put your money in, your time, your energy, and you win and not get paid. That is a bad situation right there. And, you know, it's kind of rough. It makes it kind of rough on everybody because everybody wants something that they can put their hard-earned money into and bank on something coming back if they win with a lot of the effort. And when the effort's put there and then you finally won and you don't get anything in return, it's hard to go back. And, you know, I would – my email is michaelt21@insightbb.com. I mean, I would love to hear from you if you have anything to say about it. But anything different, you can always catch me on the FFPC boards, on the FBA boards, because I'm really kind of the more I talk about it, the more upset I get about it. So, you know, I just don't know what to say other than let's move to baseball. I just got a message from Scott. Mike, dude, what's the deal? I'm going to have to give this guy, send this guy a gift certificate. Well, I'll tell you what, Scott, send it on me. I don't know how to run the board, man. I'm an old country boy. I don't know how to do this. Go to the switchboard and get him on the air. Well, that's one thing to do, dude. Thank you, Jeff.
Hello.
Hey, Jeff.
You got me, Mike?
Yes, how you doing?
Hey, Mike, here we go. How you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I was sitting there rambling about a bunch of stuff, but you know, I'm not used to running this switchboard, and Scott is, but, you know, I just kind of said some stuff that was on my mind about a lot of different things. So how you doing, Jeff?
I'm good. I'm keeping up with all the unsexy stuff that's going on in the NFL these days.
And what, you know, what unsexy stuff could that be?
Well, the CBA, I mean, first we had the extension, and then it's pretty much playing out pretty much how I was describing on the Football Guys board, so it's not pretty, and a lot of us are kind of, I mean, a lot of the sports writers for football, we kind of wind down after the Super Bowl. This is kind of the slow period, we take our time with things. Dynasty really kind of, you know, kicks up about this time of year as soon as free agency hits, but, you know, we're missing free agency now. The year was supposed to click over last week, and it didn't happen. They extended the CBA. And now, basically, what they're calling NFL Armageddon is upon us, and that it's going to expire at midnight, which is moments from now. The players have decertified their union, and we can talk about what that means. But a lot of people just want to know, is there going to be football? So I got a few opinions on that.
Right. And you know what, Jeff, I kind of rambled on a little bit earlier in the show about what could happen if they're, you know, what, I mean, let's face it, this weekend, is this the end of the end, or is there going to be another, you know, another extension period or what have you. You know, what do you think about this? I mean, are they going to continue the extension period, or is this the end of the end?
Well, I'll try to simplify it as much as what we care about here, which is that this is actually a good thing for fans, believe it or not. There's not going to be any more extensions. That's out. The union has decided to decertify. They're saying that they don't trust the owners at this point, and they're going to take it to court. And the reason that they did it now is because two reasons. One is they can go to court now, and by doing it before the CBA ends, before midnight, they can stay in Judge Doty's under his jurisdiction, and he's done so many good things for the NFL players in the past. They want to stay with him as long as they can.
Right. Well, now where does the there's a lot of millions of dollars that comes into play here, and we're not even touching the 18-game schedule.
No, 18-game schedule is going to be out. We're really just talking about the number one thing they all got to figure out is, you know, how much money is there and how they're going to divvy it up, and that's what really is in play. The players' union is saying, you know, the owners first we know that they get $1 billion off of the top of the $9 billion pie, and they kind of split it up after that. Now the owners wanted another billion. The owner and the player said, "No way, we can't just go ahead and give you another $1 billion without seeing your books." The owner said, "You've seen enough. You just have taken us on a word." And then they changed the number twice. First, they offered $800 million, which is down from $1 billion. And they offered $650 million, down from the 800 number. And the players, you know, DeMarcus Smith said a very good thing that said, why would we take this offer when we're losing money and we don't have any reason to understand why? The NFL is doing great. Why should the players accept less? So what they've done now is that basically they've put 10 names, not just three. Originally I heard that there were going to be three names on a lawsuit, which are going to be Breeze, Brady, and Peyton Manning, three very big names, and they're going to take the thing to court and file an antitrust lawsuit. If they had waited till after midnight, they would have to wait 6 more months to file that lawsuit, which would mean even a longer period to go through court. It doesn't mean that – now, don't expect that there's going to be a case heard before that they're going to play, but going that one step to actually filing a lawsuit may actually bring the owners to the table because they do not want to go before Judge Doty again.
Right. And the one thing that it seems like to me, Jeff, is the players want to see the books. They want to see the real deal about what's going on as far as, you know, I guess profit and loss. They want to know because, you know, their deal right now is looking pretty good. But,
players just wanted to stay as it was. Yeah, the players just wanted to see how it was. They can't understand why they should be getting less money when the league is doing so well. It's going up in viewership and profits, and everybody wants to throw money at the league, and why should the players be taking less?
Right, and I think that's the public perception is, they're mad at the players, and they're mad at, they want to be mad at the players, but In all reality, I think everybody should be mad at the owners for not really, being smart enough to understand the agreement to begin with.
Yeah, well, it was kind of pushed forth. Gene Upshaw, they really kind of pushed it forward last time. And it was really kind of a sweetheart deal. But now the players, what the really interesting thing, and not many people have even mentioned this yet, there's a very interesting name that is on that lawsuit now, which is a rookie. Von Miller is on that lawsuit. So that before it was just three names. Now it's 10, including Vincent Jackson and Logan Mankins. But the fact that a rookie is on there may actually jeopardize the draft that's scheduled for the end of April.
Well, you know what? That's funny you said that because Dave Duerson, I mean, his name comes to mind as far as them wanting to extend the season. You know, unfortunately, he took his life, but, this is a guy that played the NFL, played it hard, and after a lot of years and being banged up so much, you know, maybe to his own fault, you know, it went bad. It went ugly. So there's a lot of, I don't know, Jeff. In my opinion, there's a lot of things that the players have that I feel like that they're in control of, and they should be.
Yeah, it's the owners really want a union. They want the players because they want collective bargaining. There's a lot of things that they can't get if they don't have collective bargaining. They can't have a salary cap. They can't have, you know, they can't lock players up for 3 or 4 years. They can't have a draft. They can't have just a wide open market because that'll just ruin what they've already established. So if it's entirely free trade, it's a mess. They want a union so they can collectively bargain, you know, to keep the things that they made the NFL so successful with the rookies and the salary cap and free agency. So with everything coming to a head now, everybody's trying to understand what the decertification means. So the owners aren't real happy about this. They're threatening the lockout now, that which is probably going to happen. And they're also threatening, you know, are they going to open up the doors to free agency and signing people now? Are they going to be able to permit trades? But the players are countering with a lawsuit that's trying to go against both, not just the lockout, but also the transition tags, the franchise tags, and even now probably the rookie draft.
Right. And, you know, I had something was talked about in the chat room about the rookie draft. You know, it's funny because 3 years ago, you know, I looked at the NFL as the most pristine run organization in professional sports. They had a salary cap, obviously, with us, which I went on a rant earlier because with fantasy players and gamblers, without us, the NFL would not be where it is. And I firmly believe that. But 3 years ago, the NFL was pretty much the most stable of the three. I won't say four. I cannot include the NHL because they had a salary cap. The NBA now has become a collusion type of organization where it's like, hey, come to me and we'll do it, just like what the Miami Heat's trying to do. Major League Baseball, it's become they've gotten through the steroid era, but they still can spend money. You know, you have all these teams like the Red Sox, the Yankees, Philadelphia Phillies. I mean, they're spending money left over right. What is going to make a difference in the NFL if they get through this because they have this salary cap? What's going to make the difference to make sure that they're okay?
It's a good question. I think that there's an argument that can be made by you could look at the different sports. The NFL has really been the number one sport for a number of years, and it's kind of been what other sports are aspiring to. There are issues with it. I mean, the rookies get paid too much money. Everybody pretty much agrees with that, and the money should go more towards the veterans. There's certain things the players want. The players really wanted to keep the way it was, but the owners really are losing money, or so they say, or they're not. I shouldn't say that they're losing money. I should say that they're not earning as much money as
right.
They think that they should be. Now, I don't fault them one bit. If you put out $1 billion or whatever into an organization and only making $10 million a year, that doesn't sound right. But a lot of that value is coming as the appreciation of the franchise, which not many of them want to sell. So they are coming out of pocket for a lot of expenses for these huge stadiums. And they do have to throw a lot of money out of pocket at the rookies and at the signing bonuses. So I can understand to his point that they want more money. I understand that. But at the same time, the players want certain things too. They're arguing for, you know, sooner free agency and taking care of the veterans, but also or the retired players and insurance. Personally, I think that's the union's problem, not the actual owner's problem. But there's a lot of room back and forth to go. The owners are really forcing the issue, and that's why it's really a lockout, not a strike. The owners are trying to impose their will on the players. They may even try a last best offer at this point and just institute a package. It won't stick, but they may try and do that and say, okay, we'll put forth the last best offer. We're going to play under these terms this year, and we'll cease and desist the lockout, which will wind up in court anyway. So it's going to be a sticky mess no matter what. Hopefully that they will satisfy everybody and get things settled, that the threat of Judge Doty will get the players and the owners into a room for mediation and get this done. The good news is that once this finally gets resolved, and we know it's going to get resolved at some point, hopefully before the September, we'll be good for another 6 or 7 years. But until we get to that point, it's going to be rough. And I think it's the fact that we're at the point where we're getting to the courts in March and that we're starting to threaten the draft at the end of April. It's getting heated enough that I think we may have an agreement even before the draft. I can't swear to it, but I think there's going to be a negotiation session of something because Judge Doty will rule something probably against the lockout in the next coming weeks.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're right, Jeff. And the one thing about it is they're not going to let this thing continue. But if it does, I mean, right now it's starting to sound like it's getting kind of ugly, because the only reason I say that is because it looked like they were really close last week. And I was, I'm thinking, wow, man, they're going to make this thing happen. And then all of a sudden last night, it looked like it was getting pretty ugly. Yeah.
Well, what made you think they were getting close, though, Mike?
Well, the only thing was reports that, first off is if they extended the deadline. That tells me they're getting close.
That meant that they want to keep them at the table. That doesn't necessarily mean that they want to, that they're closer. Now, my thought always was that the owners agreed to the 7 days of mediation to draw attention away from, you know, that the CBA was about to end. They went to 7 days of mediation, and then came the NFL Combine, and then one day later they said, well, we're going to be done because it's going to be the CBA expires. When they did go to mediation again after that date, I agree with you a little bit. That is a positive sign, but once the owners started throwing numbers and the players would say, no way, that's pretty much signaled, you know, this is going to court. And they have to go and force an issue to get the owners. The owners losing the $4 billion from TV revenue from Judge Doty a couple weeks ago, that was a major hiccup right there. That really swung the momentum over to the players. If the owners had $4 billion and could lock the players out, the players wouldn't be able to hold up. There's just no way. Too many players live, believe it or not, they don't save their money, and they really want to get a paycheck. So lockout for a full season probably would have made them crumble like the NHL did. But now that the $4 billion is up, that we've got owners out there that have big payments of their own to deal with. So that helped them get to, that's probably what really got them to that mediation through this week. But now that the owners are digging in and saying, I don't want to show my books, Judge Doty may force that issue, and regardless, the owners do not want to have full disclosure of their books. There's no question about that. So anything that that they can either do or circumvent or get in before Judge Doty brings too many rulings down, that will probably lead to a negotiation. It'll be better for everyone, which will lead to a draft in football.
Yeah. You know, I think everything will work out okay, and, I like what you're saying, Jeff, but it's still, in my opinion, it's kind of a dream scenario. So I don't know, man. I want it to work out okay. I want it to be just fine. And like you said, you made a very good point. If they can hammer this thing out, and if it can be done, whether it's March 11th or August 11th, once they hammer this thing out, they've got to make sure between the players and the owners that it's a long-term 7, 8, 9, 10-year deal so we don't have to revisit this again. And, that's something that they've all got to understand. But there's one thing that I want to talk about that I hope that the players are, addressing is, you know, their benefits package. And, you know, for you, let's face it, the NFL, when you're 30 years old, you're done. Now, don't get me wrong. These guys get paid a lot of money. But there's a lot of guys that are kind of not high profile. They get paid the you know, $1 million a year or whatever. And yeah, that might seem like a lot of money, and I'm sure it is. But you know what kind of pension package is involved in this? Do you know of any, Jeff?
The pension. I know that they want to get more for the veteran players. Again, the owners, and I actually sided with the owners on this, the owners don't want to come out too much out of pocket to take care of the veteran players because the players should take care of their own. I think that's why they have a union in the first place, and I tend to agree with that. The players should set a percentage of their salaries aside for veteran players. I think asking the owners to contribute some is nice and is a good gesture, and they should probably get that. But ultimately, it's the players to take care of their own. It's just like the owners would take care of their own. Al Davis, way back when, used to help the AFL exist. So the owners take care of their side, the players take care of their side. But I think that the veteran thing is not a big issue. The biggest issue is how to divvy up a huge $9 billion pie. Now, I will address a point you made earlier about having a 9 or 10 year agreement. That won't happen because things change. Climates change. Economies change. I mean, you know, things happen every 4 or 5 years that you need to go back to the table and say, are we good? Can we continue? So that's where having stability in the leadership with, you know, Roselle and Upshaw and Tagliabue, those guys, stability there, I know that they were too chummy, definitely, to the detriment of the players. But having that stability there to say, okay, let's do a sanity check every 3 years or so. Are we still on a good path? That's a good thing, but a 9 or 10 year agreement, that won't happen. I mean, they might put it on paper, but it's like giving Steve Young a 7 year contract when he's 35. We all know it's not going to happen. Every 4 or 5 years, they will readdress this. But they do need to get to the table, and anything that puts time pressure on them, having a rookie involved in a lawsuit that could threaten the draft in 6 weeks from now. Is time pressure. That's a good thing because it's going to force these guys to the table because there's a lot of clubs out there that want to make trades, like the Eagles and a few others that want to make trades before the draft that need to get done. If that doesn't happen, now you're worried about, will these rookies get into a camp and start learning and being able to contribute this year, and can we get some free agency done before the draft so we know what we need to draft because we have holes in our roster?
Well, and furthermore, If the lockout, I mean, if it does happen, they can't have any communication with any of the current players.
Officially.
Correct. I mean, the coaches, owners.
I'll tell you what, if I was, I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't say it if I was a member of the Rams, but I'm telling you, I would not be surprised at all if somehow a playbook winds up in the hands of their quarterback. If Josh McDaniels just happens to leave a package somewhere for Sam Bradford, that just happens, it wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. The NFL might need to go to the NCAA for for tips.
Yeah, the NFL needs a few boosters.
I can't believe I said that, but I mean, really, let's face it. I mean, if the lockout, then you know, they can't have any communication whatsoever with their players, and so how do you teach the system? Well, you turn to the NCAA, and they'll tell you how.
Yeah, and one of the chatters actually made a good point about Von Miller being on the lawsuit. It's there's a rookie salary cap too. I mean, he may be contending against that, so. It could be both pieces of that are up for grabs. So there's a lot to be discussed still.
Right. And, moving forward, if you're if you're getting ready for a draft, do you think about anything different? Like, for instance, say you have a dynasty league and you have your four picks available, round 1, 2, 3, 4, say you're drafting, I don't know, mid mid-range. Does any of this play any weight? Are you going to trade? How are your trades going to be affected? Is what I'm saying moving forward.
For Dynasty Leagues, I don't think you really change anything because Dynasty, you're looking long-term. So I think long-term, this is going to be a 3 or 4 month blip, maybe a 6 month blip, and you're drafting players for hopefully 9, 10 years. So I think you're still looking for the same value. I think the NFL teams are going to be drafting, if there's no free agency, they're going to be looking to draft a little bit more on need, immediate need in the first couple of rounds than on necessarily talent, especially teams with holes. And there's a lot of teams with holes that the good news is that a lot of defensive line players are coming out, so teams that need defensive line help are going to have it out there. Offensive line, it looks pretty good, decent too for depth. Corner may be an issue. Running back may be an issue. We'll have to see. But if you have certain needs, you probably want to draft a little bit more towards need than building up because you can't plan long term right now. It's very much been a win-now league in recent years since we've seen Baltimore and Atlanta really go from nothing to something with rookie quarterbacks real quickly. But teams that, you know, have two or three holes in their lineup, they're going to look for the rounds 1, 2, 3, bang, 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 try to fit those holes. So you'll see better value as a result drafting to day 3 of the NFL draft. But as a dynasty owner, you're still looking for, you know, expect similar things. Expect rookies to be with a team for 3 or 4 years. So talent, I always look at a combination of talent and also opportunity. I may go towards a lesser talent a little bit if I think he's going to start right away. So if I think a guy, if for some reason Miami takes Ryan Williams instead of Mark Ingram, I may bump Ryan Williams up over Mark Ingram because I know Ryan's going to start. But if Mark Ingram winds up stuck behind two or three guys, maybe New England grabs him, or he, you know, winds up in, the Giants, and he gets stuck behind Jacobs and Bradshaw. You know, that may be an issue because 3 or 4 years, you're looking at like a Michael Turner type situation behind Tomlinson when he started. So, still draft. I really wouldn't change your philosophy too much in dynasty leagues if you're drafting right now.
Yeah, you know what? That's funny because. I've noticed that in a couple of leagues that I'm in right now that they're pretty much saying, you know, I'm planning on the season because based on the trades that I've seen, and, you know, I think I kind of got left behind, in, especially in Hyper 2. Hyper 3 I'm good, but in Hyper 2, you know, I just wasn't I wasn't trading and doing the things because I was just going, well, there probably won't be a 2011 season, and next thing you know, these guys are planning on it, and that's what you got to plan on.
Yep, you just got to just look at this as a momentary glitch. Now, I will say that there was Derek Tan, who's my partner in crime over at Dynasty Guys, over there. He started a good discussion on Football Guys, saying that there's another side of the coin that not many people are talking about. The veterans have value right now. Donald Driver, you know, guys that are veterans who have one or two more years left in the tank that people are kind of saying, yeah, what if there's not a 2011 or whatever, you can get them for a steal right now. And if you're pushing for a championship in 2011 or 2012, now's a good time to go get these guys because veterans are going to have an even bigger leg up on rookies this year, especially if there's no training camps in May and June.
Well, you know what? That's a good point because the rookies, the second-year players, third-year players, they need that training camp. You know, it's already been proven. The veterans, they don't necessarily have to have that. So they can step out there September 4th or 10th or whenever it is, and you know, they can perform. They're grizzled veterans. That's why we call them that. So that's a good point because they can be able to do that. So you know, how will it affect any type of work stoppage? Like how will it affect a say a Nosa Moreno, for instance, a guy that made a big impact that was huge. How will it affect him?
I think, well, running backs adapt easiest. I think the biggest issues are going to be offensive lines, because that's where you need the most cohesion, and defensive scheme changes. If you're having a new defensive coordinator, I think the team like the Eagles, who I follow closely, are really impacted because they can't trade Kevin Cobb and get good value for him. And they've got a brand new defensive coordinator who hasn't coached defense in 20 years in Juan Castillo. They really got to get that scheme out there. They've got a young defense that really needs to be coached up to get somebody opposite of Trent Cole to get a pass rush going. But not only that, but they got to get a scheme together that actually works.
Yeah. You know what? And that's another good point as well, because without the offensive line, without your defensive line, there's nothing. Without the offensive line, you don't have a rushing game. I mean, Shanahan with the Denver Broncos for years, I mean, he proved that with all the running backs he run through that system. Emmitt Smith, I mean, I'm a big Dallas Cowboy fan, but without those big boys in front of him, I don't think he would have done what he'd have done. So you have to take care of those guys that are in front of you, just like the defensive side of the situation. You got to take care of those guys too. So, and it just brings back to a point that they got to get this deal done, and I sure hope they. I hope they get it done, and I'm looking forward to it, and I want to see it, because I'm hedging my bets on a lot of different things here, Jeff, and it's I don't know, it's making it kind of tough for me to make trades, and I don't know why that is, but that's just the way I am.
I agree with you, but now's a good time to I know we're all hardcore football guys. I mean, otherwise we wouldn't be talking about football in March. I mean, most people take the, they're like, around July, they'll say, oh, yeah, football, pick up the magazine, start looking at it again. Or if there's even still magazines, they'll start looking at stuff in the websites. But right now, for us hardcore guys, it's really time. There is a little bit of time here to just say this, take a deep breath, just relax, let things play out for a little bit. Focus a little bit on the rookies, and yeah, it is a little hard because you've got restricted free agency or trades or whatever. There's no gun to your head to make a trade right now. I mean, you can actually take a moment and just relax, go coach your kid's soccer game a little bit for right now. It's okay to take a step back. I know we all want to read the news every day, and I still read the news every day for the football, but it's not a crime for there to be 1 or 2 weeks of just chill time. It's okay.
Well, I agree with that, and we all need to do that because this is a passion. But we, like you said, we have our families, we have everything that we enjoy doing, and this is the time to do it. And you just can't get too wrapped up in it, but it's hard not to. I mean, when it's in your blood, when it's in your system. Every single one of these guys in the chat room, I guarantee it. Boy Kittens, Syracuse Slappers, Beer Campaign, the Joker, Cole Crocker. I mean, all these guys, they love it. They love it. They're chatting about different things right now, but I guarantee you, every single one of them, they love this game. And, it's good to take a step back, but it's good to jump right in because I'm ready for the CBA to get corrected. I'm ready for the draft, and after that draft, next thing comes the redraft for your dynasty leagues, and game is on. So it's a fun time of year, Jeff. When you really think about it. You got the NCAA tournament, which I'm watching right now. Louisville's up by 2 with 1:40 to go, which is a great game. And I guess I'm kind of got my attention.
Oh, that's where Scott is.
anyway, I guarantee you, Scott's going nuts. But it's just a conference tournament. So we'll see. A week from this week, I don't know what's going to happen with the show. But I tell you, Jeff, you've been a great guest. And anything else you want to talk about a little bit?
I think we're good, Mike. But I'm definitely getting ready to gear it up and watch some basketball. I think this is the right time. You know, college basketball really is a 3 or 4. It's basically a 1 month season, which is a great time. You know, to fill in. For, you know, this as we're hitting, getting ready out to hit. That everybody gets out of the snow and warms up ahead to the springtime. So, yeah, everybody keeping one eye on the.
How much snow did you get this year?
We got spared a little bit. I mean, we get hammered a little bit now and then, and we haven't had snow in like a month or so in Maryland. It's been nice. It's been really, really cold, but we got spared. But we did get probably a couple feet this time of year, but PA really got hit a little bit harder than us. We skimmed it away a little bit.
Wow. That's that's crazy to think about, Jeff. You know, we got 13 inches this year. Not in one day, a year. And we're like, wow, man, this is a lot of snow. Hey, Jeff, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And, I just want to appreciate the crew. It's about 9 minutes till, and I'm gonna wrap this thing up and watch the Louisville Notre Dame game. Jeff, anything else?
That's all, Mike. You have a great night, and anytime you want to have me on, just let me know.
All right. Well, I thank you so much. I appreciate it. Hey guys, I want to thank everybody for joining Red versus Blue Fantasy Football Sports Talk Radio, and I'm going to get out of here and watch this last minute of the Louisville Notre Dame game at 70-70, and you guys want to check in? Well, I'll take that back. It's 72-70 Louisville. So it's quite a game. Been a great show, and I hate to cut out on you guys, but I'm going to so I can watch the game. On behalf of Scott Atkins and everybody involved, thanks, guys. I want to thank you, War Kittens, Syracuse Slappers, Jeff. Appreciate you so much, and we'll do it again next Friday. Take care, guys.